Welcome to Radio IQ's Virginia On Demand for this Tuesday. It's a daily podcast from Radio IQ featuring the top stories across Virginia. I'm Jeff Bossert. Healthcare continues to be a sticking point in Washington and Richmond as state and federal lawmakers clash over funding Obamacare subsidies that expired last year. Michael Pope has this story.
16 years ago this week, President Barack Obama signed the Affordable Care Act. Since that time, more than a million uninsured Virginians have been able to get health insurance. Here's Ashley Kenneth at the Commonwealth Institute.
In 2010, the uninsured rate for adult women in Virginia was 16%. The most recently available data shows that the uninsured rate for adult women in Virginia is at 8%. That means, thanks to the Affordable Care Act, we were able to cut the uninsured rate for non-elderly women in Virginia by half. But that progress is all in peril due to H.R. 1's health care cuts.
The Virginia General Assembly is considering backfilling some of the cuts created by H.R. 1, although state budget negotiations are currently at a standstill. The Senate budget includes $200 million, and the House budget has $79 million. Congresswoman Jennifer McClellan says Congress needs to take action.
Well, I am thankful that my former colleagues in the Virginia General Assembly are doing what they can to help backfill some of the expired federal tax credit. It's really on Congress to undo these tax handouts and making corporations and the ultra wealthy pay their fair share and restore funding for both Medicaid and the Affordable Care Act.
Nine House Republicans joined House Democrats earlier this year to pass a bill to revive Obamacare subsidies that expired last year. That bill is currently stalled in the Senate. I'm Michael Pope.
Coming up in a little bit, Dr. Catherine Casey has long been an advocate for LGBTQ health care in the Charlottesville area.
LGBTQ health should be just a routine part of primary care.
But it's been a challenging year following the Trump administration's changes to transgender policies. Christine Cuter talks with Casey about the experience. We'll have their conversation in a little while. Roanoke City is facing a challenging budget year. City leaders rolled out a proposed $421 million budget that includes numerous cuts. The city is defunding 29 positions across multiple departments, including police, fire, EMS, libraries, and others. The budget also includes a proposal to cut back on mowing at city parks to just once every 28 days, down from 14 days now. Roanoke City Manager Val Marie Turner said the cuts are needed to counter new expenses, slowing revenue growth, and the expiration of the city's one-year meals tax hike.
Balancing the budget required very difficult decisions this year.
The city also faces pressure from a public school system facing its own funding gap of between $10 and $15 million. Vice Mayor Terry McGuire said some of those proposed cuts are difficult to swallow.
I'm going to have a really hard time supporting some of this.
City Council has two community meetings about the budget scheduled for April before a public hearing April 23rd. A vote is scheduled for May 11th. Many communities are protesting plans for data centers here in Virginia. Now a group that works to protect national parks is joining the chorus of complaints. Sandy Hausman reports on why they're worried.
Kyle Hart is with the National Parks Conservation Association, which has been tracking plans for new data centers in Virginia. Already, he says, we're the world capital of these facilities, but we can expect 10 times as much capacity in the years to come.
Dominion Energy said in February that they have signed contracts with data center developers for 70 gigawatts. We have barely just begun the data center build out in Virginia in the Mid-Atlantic if what is being talked about comes to fruition.
Developers are especially excited, he says, about land adjacent to national parks.
We have been successful at fighting off other developments there in the past. And so you have large swaths of open space that don't have other things on them. Developing on open, flat farm fields is much cheaper than taking old malls or old industrial sites and turning them into data centers.
He adds that there are plans to build new high-voltage power lines to supply these centers across the Appalachian Trail, the Shenandoah National Park, and the Wilderness Battlefield, among others, with towers up to 200 feet tall. So his group is lobbying for greater government regulation and more industry transparency to protect the nation's natural and historic resources and to prevent the air and noise pollution associated with data centers. I'm Sandy Hausman.
Gusty winds and low humidity levels often increase the chances for wildfires. That's part of the reason Madison County, along the Blue Ridge, announced a countywide burning ban Monday. The county said many of its resources were already committed to a brush fire in the Rapidan Wildlife Area. The winds are expected to be calmer today. The University of Virginia women's basketball team has advanced to the NCAA's Sweet 16. It's after a double overtime 83-75 win over Iowa in Monday's second-round game. They become the first four team to advance that far, winning three games in 5 days. UVA will face TCU in the third round Saturday in Sacramento, California. Virginia Commonwealth University and men's basketball coach Phil Martelli Jr. have agreed to a contract extension. The deal adds 2 years to Martelli's contract, which will now run through the 2031-32 school year. In his first season as head coach, VCU won the Atlantic 10 Conference Championship and upset North Carolina in the first round of the NCAA tournament. Virginia's Attorney General Jay Jones and a handful of state lawmakers praised the passage of the Vape Enforcement Act Monday. The effort requires vape shops to register with the state and face big fines. And if they break state law, they could lose their licenses, as Brad Kuttner reports.
Virginia's new vape registration law doesn't kick in until 2027. But once it's in place, Attorney General Jay Jones said his office is ready to enforce it.
We are funded to do this and have the resources and tools to hold these shop owners accountable. And if they continue to break the law, that they're going to lose their license. This is a really, really simple thing. If the products are not legal, you can't sell them.
The bill was carried by two Democrats, Arlington Delegate Patrick Hope and Henrico Senator Skyler Van Valkenburg. A teacher when not in the legislature, Van Valkenburg said he was tired of seeing kids vaping in schools, and he believes the law will make that stop.
You're having kids bringing them in, sharing them, right? Using them in the bathroom, using them in the hallway. And I think the real important part is to stop it before they even get access to it. And I think that's what this bill does.
Advocates for the vape industry, meanwhile, said the devices have helped many people quit smoking traditional cigarettes, which Tony Abood with the Vapor Technology Association argues are significantly more harmful.
And everybody knows that it's the cigarettes that are killing 500,000 Americans and thousands of Virginians every single year.
The law puts new licensing, permitting, and inspections under Virginia ABC with oversight from the AG's office. Legislators will have to approve the law again in 2027 before it can go into full effect. In Richmond, I'm Brad Kuttner.
Another widening project on Interstate 81 is about to kick off. The Virginia Department of Transportation is planning to widen the southbound side of the highway to three lanes between Raphine and Fairfield in Rockbridge County. Preliminary engineering work will begin next week, which means some southbound lane closures. Construction is expected to take several years once it begins. It's been more than a year since the University of Virginia's Board of Visitors compelled UVA health clinicians to scale back care for existing transgender patients younger than 19. The decision was the result of bans issued by the Trump administration. Across rapidly changing legal landscapes, one Charlottesville area physician specializing in trans care continues her fight. Christine Cuter spoke with her.
In the early 2000s, Catherine Casey had medical school friends who had to trek to an infectious disease clinic to get physicals.
Because primary care doctors were not trained in how to screen appropriately for sexually transmitted infections in gay men. This was completely wild to me, seeing as they were just regular healthy 22-year-olds looking for a checkup.
She later talked to LGBTQ patients who'd been escorted out of doctor's offices, denied eye exams, and treated like objects of curiosity, including one trans patient who woke up in the ER with no pants.
As they had seen in her chart that she had had gender-affirming surgery and were curious, there was a general lack of understanding as to who transgender people were, where they fit in the LGBTQ health spectrum, and certainly no discussion of their healthcare needs in my training.
Today, Casey specializes in adult LGBTQ care, and her practice sees about 1,000 such patients from all over the state, including many who identify as trans. She also teaches medical and nursing students how to talk with, touch, and assess LGBTQ patients.
Tailoring your approach so that you do your best to first do no harm, which is one of the fundamental rules that we have to follow as physicians and healthcare providers.
Though she established UVA Health's first transgender clinic a decade ago as a monthly one-off, she's since decided that integrating them is better. Casey ensures that everyone, from medical trainees to the frontline office staff, are
supportive and fluent in using LGBTQ terminologies. That's absolutely how it should be in my mind. LGBTQ health should be just a routine part of primary care that all primary care doctors are familiar with, the same way they're familiar with treating diabetes, hypertension, low back pain, sinus infections, and the rest of it.
While UVA Health continues to provide transgender care to adults, shifts in care for young trans patients are less clear. Casey has seen the changes firsthand.
I had never seen my pediatric colleagues break down and cry before, but that was honestly one of the factors which made me feel like I had to double down even harder and make sure that this work was done for them too. It was utterly unfair that some of my colleagues were going to never see their patients again, who they had been caring for years, based on something so cruel and arbitrary.
There are other erosions too.
So if I send a bill to a health insurance company and I said I checked somebody's testosterone level and hematocrit because they have gender dysphoria, the health insurance company is supposed to pay for the lab cost that I ordered. And what we're finding is certain health insurance companies have stopped doing that across the board. Medications for patients related to the diagnosis of gender dysphoria are being denied by certain healthcare insurance companies. And that's not something which they've been forced to do by any federal statute, but it's something that they've chosen to do.
And that's dangerous because patients who stop taking hormones risk getting osteoporosis and things like hip fractures, even in their teens and 20s. Casey emphasizes transgender Virginians shouldn't and aren't going anywhere.
They're just like you and me. They're just trying to get by. They are absolutely everywhere and unavoidable, whether you recognize them or not. They are serving you at restaurants, checking you out at the grocery store, and frequently they're your colleagues and people at work, whether or not you figured that out yet.
Reporting from Charlottesville, I'm Christine Cuter.
This note of disclosure, the University of Virginia is a financial supporter of Radio IQ. In the forecast, we're gradually warming up as we head through the middle of the week. Winds die down today. Skies turn mostly sunny and cool. Highs in the mid to upper 50s. Some clouds tonight, not quite as cold. Lows in the mid to upper 30s. Mostly sunny, warmer tomorrow. Highs in the low to mid 60s. And highs Thursday reach the low to upper 70s, including 78 for Roanoke and Danville. A couple showers possible in the southwest. Thank you for listening to Virginia On Demand. And a little reminder, subscribe and tell your friends about it. For Radio IQ, I'm Jeff Bosser.